Wisconsin is going back to work.
I'm Steve Walders.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
This is Rewind, Wisconsinized summary of this week. And we're going to preview the Democratic State Convention. That's today and tomorrow in Wisconsin Dells. We talked to Democratic State Chairman Mike Tate. Let's listen to a few clips. Here's what he had to say about Mary Burke.
This is all about Mary Burke's track record, her plans for Wisconsin versus the record of failure we've seen under Scott Walker. Mary is someone who brings a business person's background to the race, helped contract into an international brand, close to 1,000 good-paying jobs right here in Wisconsin. Great track record as Secretary of Commerce, 65,000 more jobs then than now. The unemployment rate was lower. And we've seen her be a real leader on education, on philanthropy, and she is just someone that can put this state back together again and get us back on the right track with people getting back to work.
J.R., he listed her qualifications, business leaders, a business leader, schools, K-12, philanthropy. You and I have heard that. Did you hear anything new when the chairman talks about his the candidate he wants to be the nominee?
No, I mean, he's trying to present her as a viable alternative to Scott Walker and that she can kind of take the state forward because we've been muddling along, if you will. Republicans are trying to take Mary Burke's strengths and make them the weaknesses. So yes, she's got business experience, but they want to focus on track and outsourcing jobs to China. Yeah, she's on school board in Madison, but they want to focus on, you know, what has she done? What
voting
has she voted
for that union
for?
Contract. Yep.
Voting for a tax increase a couple of years or years ago. So I mean, they're trying to take and undercut that message because they realize that Governor Walker has a few issues of his own, and while he might not be able to get over 50% in the polls, they can tear her down and still have a path to victory coming
up. That Franklin poll, 46-46, did that put new wind in Mary Burke's sails?
It definitely gave her a new story to tell about, look, you know, we're 5-6 months out and we're deadlocked with this guy. Now, that's registered voters. I mean, we all know come November, likely voters what matters. And by that measure, he's a little bit more of an edge. I like what the Cook Report had to say last week when they made it a toss-up, if you will. That it's a toss-up but with a thumb on the scale towards Scott Walker, which I think is, well, most people think it is. That even if it is tied right now, there's certain things that favor Governor Walker if it is neck and neck come, you know, October 31st.
And here's what Mike Tate had to say about State Representative Brett Halsey, who is challenging Burke for the Democratic nomination for governor. Burke also has a primary, Mr. Chairman. Do you wish she didn't? Do you wish Mr. Halsey would drop out?
You know, we're focused on Mary Burke. Mary Burke's obviously going to be the nominee. She's the only serious candidate in this race that's put forward solutions and is running a real campaign. You know, I'm not the least bit concerned about gadfly candidates, you know, that are out there for publicity stunts. Mary's running a serious race, serious platform on how to get Wisconsin back to work, how to turn our economy around, and that's what we're going to be talking about.
J.R., I wrote down the quote. I'm not the least bit concerned about gadfly candidates in this for publicity stunts.
Well, I mean, look at the Republican State Convention, what Halsey did there. He showed up in a Confederate outfit. He was going to, at one point, hand out KKK masks, he says. And, you know, Halsey's background is getting attention. That's what he's hired to do back in the day, his various political operative jobs. He bragged to me one time when he was working for Bill Clinton in 92. He went down to Arkansas, and they were trying to, the Bush people want to tape a commercial about how bad things are in Arkansas. He followed them around with Clinton Gore signs, and every time he tried to take a shot, he would get behind the, you know, the camera, so they couldn't videotape what they wanted to tape. I mean, this is what Brett does.
JR, this morning's State Journal story about the challenge to Brett's papers being worked on by the Democratic chairman in Dane County. Mm-hmm. Remember reading that? Mm-hmm. Halsey said he paid homeless people $13 an hour to collect signatures.
He says a living wage, yeah.
A living wage. Wow.
Well, the other thing I thought was noticeable was that the chairman said that every time he does something, he gets press. You know, it's time to pull up the stakes on the circus. And I realized something. I was talking to a Republican yesterday about Halsey, and you know, the Republicans are pushing this idea of a divided base, that Halsey's a real threat to Burke and the people aren't happy with her.
He says he's the only real Democrat running.
The last time I wrote this much ink about somebody getting 3% in the polls was Ralph Nader. And Ralph Nader had a chance to sway the election, which some people argue he did. Brett Halsey doesn't. In the Marquette poll, he's at 3% of likely Democratic primary voters. This guy is, I mean, there is this kind of, I think, this tug within the press corps of how much ink do I give this guy because he's not going anywhere, and I'm feeding this beast, if you will. He's getting he's getting free media. I mean, give him credit for that. But at some point, he's going to jump the shark and people are going to start turning away.
I've heard that debate in the press room, just how much, because he comes in almost daily between 3:30 and 5, gives us all a press release. Moving on, Mike Tate on three U.S. House seats, starting with the open seat. Representative Thomas Petri is retiring, then on the Sean Duffy seat, then on the Reed Ribble seat. Tell me about that one.
Well, you know, Mark Harris is our candidate.
Yes.
Fabulous guy. Winnebago County executive, somebody who has just a very, somebody who would have been a very credible candidate for governor, let alone, and is a phenomenal candidate for Congress, has a great handle and understanding of things like the federal budget, has a great track record in terms of balancing the budget in Winnebago County, is someone that, obviously being a Democrat in that part of the state, and I think ran unopposed last time, someone who's got a pretty good track record of working with Republicans across the aisle. I think he's a very compelling candidate. I think it's a race that we're going to see him play.
What about the Ribble Duffy? I ask about them because they haven't been there as long as the Sensenbrenners and the Ryans.
Sure. You know, I think that Kelly Westland's running a great campaign against Sean Duffy. I think that's a seat that, you know, if the wind's blowing the right way, we got a real good chance at winning. Kelly Westland's working really hard, doing everything right. You know, it's tough when you're running against guys like Sean Duffy that can raise unlimited amounts of money. But I feel pretty optimistic about what a great job Kelly's doing.
How about Ribble?
I think that's a tougher seat. You know, Ron Gruitt's going to make a good run at him, but I think we've seen Reed Ribble be able to sort of distance himself from some of the more Tea Party strong elements of the Republican Party that, frankly, people like Sean Duffy have embraced.
JR, let's take these one by one quickly. Well, the Petri seat. Tate calls Harris a very compelling candidate. What do you think?
If they get somebody really conservative that primary on the Republican side who says something stupid, then yeah, he is. I mean, it's a Republican-leaning seat even in a presidential year. This is not a presidential year. It's going to kind of exacerbate the Republican lean to the district. And two, it's not looking like a great year for Democrats nationally. So if you think about a Republican wind, how strong it is, we don't know yet, blowing across Wisconsin, an open seat, Republican-leaning seat, Republicans should hold it. The hope is that somebody gets through who says something dumb, and then Harris can portray himself as the moderate,
rational,
alternative.
Reasonable.
Yeah, he's not real flaming liberal. He comes from a banking background. He can appeal to moderate, to even Republican-leaning voters, and that's the Democratic hope. Although, I mean, you know, there's no guarantee that even if somebody gets through very conservative that primary will say something dumb. I mean, even if they did, they might still win because it is a Republican-leaning seat in a Republican year.
Moving to the Duffy district, he talks about Kelly Westland of Ashland. He doesn't mention that she's got a primary.
Yeah.
I mean, so she's going to win a primary to be the nominee, and yet Tate says she's a strong candidate. Is she a rising star in the party?
They highlighted her last year at the convention as a rising star, young up-and-comer.
That's right. She gave a speech.
So that's part of the reason why, I'm sure. The Duffy seat is not a real good one for Democrats this cycle because, and even in a presidential year, it leans Republican slightly. This is not a presidential year again. Duffy's done a pretty good job of raising money. He's got $1 million in the bank, roughly, I think, last time I checked. So not looking like the best year to challenge him. I mean, if you had a well-known candidate with a lot of money, that'd be a real race. You know, a better race, I guess I should say. But it's not looking like that right now.
Okay, and Reed Ribble. The chairman said it's a tougher seat. Congressman Ribble has been able to distance himself from the Tea Party. Boy, he's pretty much saying no expectation to win that.
Even those optimistic Democrats I talked to will tell you that Reed Ribble's done an excellent job of not only A, striking out on independent positions, but also B, doing great constituent relations. He works the district well. He fits it well. It's Republican-leaning. He should be fine, especially in a year like this.
Okay. Next, Chairman, State Democratic Chairman Mike Tate, a prediction. We're going to win the state Senate.
I think we're going to take back the state Senate. I think that we've got phenomenal candidates running. You mentioned some of those seats. You look at Martha Lanning running in the open Libum seat. She's a phenomenal candidate, someone who's got, you know, contacts across the aisle, someone who could really do a great job representing that district. Penny Bernard Shaver running against in the Mike Ellis now open seat is a dream candidate, has raised a lot of money, is going to knock on every door in that district that matters, and I think she's going to win that race. Obviously, the Dale Schultz seat is a seat that on the numbers favors us tremendously. Howard Markline's radically out of step with where the voters in that district are. I also think, you know, you look at the first Senate district, the Door and Kewaunee County, down in Brown County area.
Frank, let's say.
Yeah, I think that's another seat that is absolutely in play. So, you know, I am extremely optimistic and excited about our chances to take back the state Senate.
JR, it strikes me, Tate singled out four Senate seats. He singled out, well, let's count them down.
He talked about Liebham, Demick Lanning. He says she's strong. Mm-hmm. But that district's been represented by, it's got a long art history, doesn't it?
Not really. If you go back, it was Baumgart's seat, remember?
Yes.
98, 2000, 2002. Liebham won that race in a year, which Democrats got hammered in the Senate because Chuck Kowala won it by like 50-some votes
okay,
in the recount, if I remember correctly.
Right.
06, they ran a really bad candidate against Liebham. He won handily. It's gotten more Republican each cycle since. It's also was redrawn slightly, not a whole lot, but a little bit, make it a little bit more Republican. So that seat's gotten better for Republicans over the years.
Okay.
It's one area of the state that's trended away from Democrats, that Manitowoc area. So it's one of those seats, again, kind of like the 6th Congressional District, that open seat leans Republican in a good Republican year. Not the best shot, but Democrats need that. That's one of the three they need to have if they have any hope of taking back the Senate.
And another one they need is the Ellis seat where Chairman Tate calls Spenny Bernard Chamber a dream candidate.
Interesting dynamic there. Mike Ellis was viewed as more vulnerable, if you will, or a better opportunity for Democrats to pick him off than having an open seat with Roger Roth because Mike has a record, a long record, and they had geared up to run against him. Now, that seat is very much a swing one. Was decided between President Obama and Mitt Romney by 12 votes in 2012. But now we're talking about non-presidential year. You know, it's a little bit different. So it still should be a good race. But some Republicans you talk to, they're almost counting on Roger to win. And Democrats think they're taking Penny Bernard Chamber too lightly. So a good race to watch. That might be the most competitive race out of all of them come November.
Well, and then the Dale Schultz seat in Southwest Wisconsin. My eyebrows went up when Tate says the numbers favor us tremendously. Do they?
Oh, yeah. It's upper 50s in a normal top-of-the-ticket turnout. Now, here's the thing. That district has a long history of voting Democrat at the top of the ticket and Republican at the bottom. Why, I have no idea. But President Obama won handily there. Tammy Baldwin won handily. I mean, these guys would send Democrats to a federal office or a statewide office, but vote Republicans for legislature. It's not a slam dunk Democrats will win it, although they thought this is their best opportunity in years with Dale retiring. The problem is they haven't got, right now, one candidate who's not very good and one candidate who's to be determined. If they had a really strong candidate with a lot of money, that'd be one thing, but they don't right now. They need to kind of make that up. Representative Markline had $100,000 in the bank at the end of last year.
Mm-hmm.
He's running hard. He is more conservative than that district is, but because of his work ethic and the money he might have, he may still be able to win that seat. Although Democrats will tell you, even if they have a candidate who's not perfect, they still think they can win that even in a bad year for them. So
you're surprised that Tate puts the first district into the don't count us out? That's Senator Frank Lissay.
They're hoping again for a Richard Murdoch type moment from Frank Lissay where he says something dumb and gets himself in trouble. Now they've also filed a challenge to his nomination paper saying he doesn't live in the district. That she lives in Racine, so that's to be determined next week. But that's their hope, is that there's a follow-up on Frank Lissay's part and they give them an opportunity.
Why didn't Chairman Tate talk about Petrowski and Moulton seats?
Petrowski's seat, kind of like the Sheboygan area, up in Wausau, it's trending away from Democrats and has been for the last few years, not as good as it used to be. That was Russ Decker's seat for a long time, remember?
Yes.
Petrowski does a great job working that district, both sides will tell me. Fits it ideologically, good guy up there in terms of like a representative for the area of the people. Moulton seat.
Moulton keeps a low profile in the Capitol.
Better on the numbers for Democrats, but again, it's not great. And this is a Republican-leaning year, so they've got a guy who's a bus driver and a transportation advocate running against them. Maybe not the best candidate they could have possibly gotten, but it's just not a great seat for them. I mean, the maps where they're drawn are not really great for Democrats anymore.
Okay. Finally, Chairman Mike Tate, State Democratic Chairman Tate, on the Assembly. Let's listen to him on their odds in the Assembly.
Burke has said that the Assembly may not go back to Democratic hands, quote, anytime soon. Agree?
I think that it'd be really tough to see it go back to Democratic hands this cycle, but what we're going to do and what we're very committed to doing is making sure we pick up as many seats as we can and that we have a path back to majority. Obviously, given what the Republicans did and the shenanigans they pulled around redistricting, they tilted the board against us. We see it the most in Assembly races because it's easiest to do with 99 of them. But our plan is to build a path back. That's what Peter Bark is working on. That's what we're working on. And I believe we're going to pick up a number of seats in the Assembly.
JR, when the State Democratic Chairman says it's really tough to regain the Assembly, our hope is to pick up a few seats to put us on the path back to the majority. That's translate that.
The maps, if all things are equal, should give Republicans a majority for the rest of this decade. I mean, barring a wave or massive migration changes in Wisconsin, there are 50 to 51 Republican-leaning seats in that House. I mean, so it has to be a multi cycle process where you kind of chip away till you're within a striking distance and hope for a wave to come your way. Otherwise, yeah, Democrats know they're in a bad spot in the assembly right now.
Really quick follow-up in the assembly. The old adage, a candidate is most vulnerable in his or her first term. 12 or 13 first-term assembly members have no opposition, no challengers. Why?
Two things drive that. One, the maps. They're not very competitive anymore. There are only a handful of seats that really, truly are in play. That's the resources are going to go. Two, Democrats learned a hard lesson 2 years ago. In 2012, with President Obama topped the ticket, they figured that he would drive turnout. The old saying is, a rising tide lifts all boats. They counted on him to drive up Dem numbers for their candidates. It didn't happen. They spread the map so thin with so many with the resources that they couldn't take advantage of the opportunities that they had. So they learned a lesson from 2012. Instead of going after 12 to 15 seats, focus on a half a dozen.
Okay.
Protect your vulnerables, Amy Sue Brewing, Stephen Smith, and go after seats like the open mark line seat in the assembly. That's 58% plus, I think it is, for Democrats. So be realistic. Don't shoot for the moon.
Okay. Other news real quickly. He's back. Former State Senator Gary George. Stealth campaign. I mean, he files, he surprises everybody. Wow. And is he being challenged next Tuesday when the GAB decides who's on, who's off?
They're alleging that he's got some regularities.
You surprised he's coming back? You and I covered him.
I'm stunned, but not stunned. I mean, like, you would never have guessed that Gary George would come back, but lowing Gary George, yeah, not surprised at all. What's interesting, it's classic Gary, right?
Yes, it is.
Big splash out of nowhere. Yep. Big foul-up he's got to fix. I mean, like the George Gary billboard from a few years ago.
Yeah.
When he's running for governor. So, I mean, it's just kind of classic Gary. I don't know if he has a shot to win that primary, but he's going to make life difficult for Gwen Moore, at least, if he's on the ballot.
Well, also, how do voters in Milwaukee's district feel about he's a convicted felon?
Mm-hmm. So, and it's interesting. There's a state law that says you can't run for office if you are a felon.
State office.
But they don't know if it applies to federal office. They're trying to figure that out last time I talked to him.
Right.
The going sentiment is it doesn't apply to the House, so that he'll be okay to run.
Okay.
But, yeah, I mean, he's a felon running for office. That's not something people get past very easily. And he was convicted in a kickback scheme.
Yes.
You know, to boot. So it's a really kind of interesting dynamic there with you.
Okay, let's go out with one final subject. How many challenges does GAB have to resolve next Tuesday?
Like a half a dozen or so.
Okay.
The thing you remember about challenges is the GAB in the past, and I can't speak to each one of the merits of each one of these challenges, but in the past has said, we're going to err on the side of access to the ballot. So if you have a slight mistake, they pretty much are going to be okay with it. But what's a slight mistake?
That's,
you know,
true.
That's the whole dynamic, and it's a judgment call, which could be interesting. Mandela Barnes, if he's not on the ballot come Tuesday or after Tuesday's meeting, there's nobody on the ballot in that district.
If you're
running a writing campaign, Brett Holsey, Gary George,
yeah.
There's some interesting names going to be up, you know, be challenged on Tuesday.
Right, very interesting. Okay, that's Rewind for June 6th. And a programming note, JR and I are going to take a couple weeks off, so we'll have a lot to talk about on June 27th. I'm Steve Walders.
And I'm JR Ross.